Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. We're talking Baltimore Ravens football, and what a week it has been. I don't want to waste any more of your time. Of course, he ain't Skyping in this time, man. We're going straight old school. We're going phone to phone. That's what we're doing. Josh, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, it's not up to Alexander Graham Bell's liking, but we're direct to iPhone. It's pretty cool. I just had some technical issues with some Wi-Fi, but hey, we got it in somehow.
Hey, we're doing this, man. It doesn't matter how we're talking, and people are listening, and that's what we like to do, man. So, all right, first thing, before we get into any Ravens talk, we got to talk about those O's, man. O's came up a little short, but what a season it has been. I don't think anyone is going to say, hey, just because we didn't go to the World Series, this is a failure or anything. First time the O's are in the postseason in 15 years, up against the Yankees. Got to thank the O's, man. Got to thank them for the season that we've had. And, hey, baseball means something in Baltimore again. And I don't think anybody saw that coming, especially even last April when opening day happened. I mean, you had certain radio stations out there doing, like, memorials outside Camden Yards. But what a season. Way to go, O's. And thank you for that season. Adam Jones, you know, he's very outspoken on Twitter. And he thanked Baltimore for the support they gave him. And we're going to support the team, you know, no matter what. But what a season. This was really an exciting season for baseball fans out there.
Brandon, what an exciting season indeed. You know, just to start with that, you know, it was an honor to, a great Thursday night, obviously, you know, when we last talked on the show. And, you know, what a Thursday night to have. Obviously, the Steelers losing to the Titans. But the Orioles pulling out game four and then going all five games. And I was fortunate enough to get off work in time to see the last half of the game and to be around the atmosphere and, you know, the Purple Friday. It was still Purple Friday. The Orioles were playing. And, you know, even after they lost, one guy next to me, he goes, how about them? It was a great season. He started applause, and the whole place erupted with an applause. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's not, you know, throwing the beer glasses across the bar because you're mad. I mean, obviously you're mad, but, you know, with the Ravens, there's so high expectations, and with the Orioles season, I mean, it's almost good to see what's going to happen next year, because of what they did, what's going to happen. They're already talking about that. It's good and exciting to not only talk about the Ravens, but something else to talk about. I know, you know, with the Capitals, we, you know, that's our closest hockey team, and, you know, we got something else to talk about here in Baltimore, and it's creating that culture. And speaking of that, I'm going to kind of tie it all together. I was kind of fortunate enough to slide in my buddy's ticket he gave me on Sunday, and I was at the game, and I'm even getting taken back talking about it, Brandon. It was emotional. Buck Showalter was one of the honorary captains of the game, and he was wearing all Ravens, and the whole place, I'm telling you, it erupted. Everybody was in their seat early. The place erupted with a standing ovation. He walked out the field, and then they showed a thing on the screen called One Heartbeat. They had the Orioles and Ravens logo.
Oh, wow.
And they had the one, like the O and the one was the Orioles logo. And they had the, you know, the Orioles in the suite. I think Tea Garden was there, Adam Jones. I don't know if Reynolds was there. A couple of them were there. And Buck Showalter peeked his head out the glass and the place erupted. And that's what it's all about. It's about coming as one. It's about 70,000 fans at the Ravens game screaming, oh, because here's the thing. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm a little bit fired up, especially at the weekend we've had here in Baltimore, and I'm more emotional than probably I should be. And that's okay, because this is what we do. And I'm not trying to talk myself out of breath, but we have a lot to cover. But it was an emotional game, you know, being there with the Orioles. And especially when I was singing the national anthem and sang my O, I kind of, and you probably could agree, Brandon, this town is the birthplace of that national anthem, and I think it means more as Baltimoreans when we sing that. It's not just an anthem before the game. It was written right there at the, you know, Fort McHenry, and we say our oh, loud and proud for the Orioles in Baltimore, and I think saying the national anthem, it just means more to me personally as a fan than most because it was born here.
Yeah, you know, Baltimore always has had a special relationship with the national anthem, and I think over the last couple of years, a lot of people kind of forgot why everybody screams "Oh!" at that one point, and you know, some people are kind of taken back when people out of state or something like that don't do it, and they're like, "I thought everybody did that," but no, that's a very Baltimore thing, and it's due to the Orioles, and you know, bringing the city together, and whether it be sports or history or anything like that, everything is very tightly wound in Baltimore, in our culture and everything. So it's great to have everybody together, no matter what you're into, kind of sharing that those goals that the teams have, and it's really great to see orange mixed in with purple every now and again. And I know there's going to be a lot of people that are ready for April and ready for spring training, so I know they're going to have a lot of happy people in the springtime, and I think that's great. And I'm so happy that baseball matters again, and it's a part of our city again. But hey, man, let's roll right into it. Let's talk about the Ravens. Last couple episodes, we've talked about every single ending of a game. We say, listen, this was a win no matter what, because we came out with little to no injuries. Not the same story this week. We went out with two guys who are intricate to this team on the defense, and they are both out, both of them supposedly out for the entire season. We've got Ladarius Webb, and we've got our leader in the locker room, Ray Lewis. Both guys saying out for the rest of the season. It's this defense, you know, that this team used to be defined by. That is what we were. We never had a quarterback before. It was always the defense is what saved us. And now we're seeing a defense that is not weaker but different, and not as a well-oiled machine as it once was. And to lose these two guys that are so intricate to the defense, this is a huge blow to this team.
Brandon, it's a huge blow. And even trying to break it down, I'm still, you know, we're almost a week out from all this happening, and I'm still trying to dissect the week. I mean, I was there. I mean, I saw the Webb injury because I even was saying, look, I was pointing because Des Bryant got wide open. I'm like, that's Webb. He's down. That don't look good. And, you know, Ray Lewis being my favorite player, it's just kind of hard for me to actually say, you know, this is a serious injury. And I didn't even see him get hurt. I saw the tackle. I saw him walk off, but it didn't look like it paid. And all of a sudden, I was watching defense. And obviously, when I'm watching a game in person, I'm always looking for 52. I watch every movie makes. And, you know, I was even getting proud during the game because every tackle, every time there was a tackle on defense, it was Ray Lewis on the side. And I'm just standing up, yes, yeah, boy, that's my boy. And, you know, just he was only, I think he had, what, like 12, 13, he was near 14 tackles in the game. Like, I remember he reached like 11 or 12, and I'm like, that's right. Yeah, washed up, right. Like, even a Cowboys fan behind me was just like, dude, the guy's a machine. And I'm like, yeah, dude, like, you know, we got talking because obviously he had Emmitt Smith jersey, you know, so we were talking Hall of Famers. And, you know, and speaking of that, it's just, it's going to be hard to overcome. And it was kind of like Emmitt turned into John Hopkins triage. Like, I don't know what was going on because, I mean, Nada was banged up. You had Ladarius Webb off the field, Ray Lewis off the field. It was just a constant, you know, we didn't know who was in it at the time because they were cycling players out. And what a key loss it is. I mean, we were already, you know, we thought that, and then already with Suggs being out, and he's on the cusp of coming back. It's just going to be so hard to overcome this defense. We have a lot of key starters out, and it's going to be very interesting. Do you think the run defense was this bad? This come Sunday against Arian Foster, 1 o'clock Sunday is going to be, it's going to be a true test for this Ravens team, and seeing who's the top dog in AFC with these two teams scoring off at 5-1.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting game coming up, and but this Dallas game, man, was just so bad. You know, a lot of people are saying this defense is going to be lost. This defense is going to be worse than ever, and I think there's going to be some building process and everything, bringing these new guys in from the practice squad. But we have to remember something here, okay? The defense is a good defense. They do have good people on there. They've got Paul Kruger. We've got Brendan Iamadejo. We've got a lot of great players. We've got Haloti, even though he's a little banged up. We have three key players right there on the defense, three good players, and we've got, you know, Brendan, who is a veteran at this point. we've gone 5 weeks, or is it 6 weeks? We've gone 6 weeks now without Terrell Suggs. So this defense can go on without its main stars. But when you take out so many at one time, it does something to the team. And there's rumors going around that Terrell Suggs is going to come back this Sunday against the Texans. And I got to say, that seems like just a rumor, and it seems like idiotic that you would even say that, because I don't know how this guy is going to be ready for it. I mean, he's just coming to practice again, and he might be in football shape, but at the same time, this guy, I don't know, he needs time to get back on that field and get used to it. Also, earlier this week, we've heard Ed Reed is having he has an injury to his shoulder. So this is definitely a banged-up defense, but it's one that I think will be able to rebound quickly, but not be a perfect defense as it once was.
You know, some people might go in the old track and say, okay, well, they're old. Well, obviously, with age comes I'm trying to even think of the word, successful injury. And, you know, Ray Lewis keeps his whole body, he always talks about that, he keeps his body in such great shape that you wouldn't expect such an injury. But I actually watched the replays when I got home, and it looks like he actually reached out and tackled, and, you know, he tore his tricep off. I mean, I've seen things happen where people lift too much heavy weight in the gym, and they tear their biceps up. And actually, it was kind of funny. We were talking about torn muscles and stuff. It must be an ongoing theme this week, because I just sat out, and one of my family members, he actually tore his pectoral muscle lifting weights, tore it straight off.
Oof.
So I don't know what's going on this week with torn muscles, but it's definitely going around, not only in NFL, but in personal life. And especially with the news about Ed Reed, we all knew he had a neck impingement in his neck. We all knew his shoulder was bothering him. But with him coming out saying he has a, you know, partially torn labrum or whatever he was saying on 105.7 The Fan, when he was phoning in with LaDarius Webb for his show, it kind of was just like, really? You're going to announce that? I mean, it's just going to get other ammo to talk about. It's just a week full of injuries and what's going to happen. But hey, Ed Reed got a pick six Monday Night Football. I haven't seen any injury slowing Ed Reed down. So for the time being, Ed Reed can say, for all he cares, he has a broken ankle. But as long as he is out there playing and playing at a high level for our team, I don't see anything of it. And everybody's going to make an excuse. Okay, well, he's not tackling correctly. Well, it ain't just him. The whole defense is it. And as Bernard Pollard said, and by the way, Brandon, I love Bernard Pollard. He's one of my I know he's not a Raven for life, but he's next to Suggs, because I know Ray Lewis is my favorite. Suggs is right up there, but I'm telling you what, Bernard Pollard put it in perspective. You know, he said this whole team's pissed off the way they're playing, the way they're tackling. It's not Raven football. And they're not playing like Ravens right now, especially on defense. Now, the offense is bailing us out on the backside. But being at the game, and again, Brian, I don't know if you watched it, but 3rd and 27 at home, that can't happen.
Yeah.
Myself when I saw that, and I'm just like, are you kidding me? I already said it was lockdown. Not that I jinxed it, but I'm thinking, okay, even if this defense is porous and old or whatever, they can't tackle, you cannot let, I think it was Des Bryant who caught the ball, let him run 17 yards, and then he got a 4th and 10. Then he had another 4th and 10, I think on the 30-yard line, and you let him convert that. It's just, come on, use him with 4th and 10. It's lockdown, get off the field. We already know what's going to happen. Go take a bathroom break, because they're going to get off the field. Now it's just like, we got to sit there holding our, you know, heads and biting our nails and kind of dunking and digging, dunking and hiding our eyes, trying to figure out what's going on with the football team. And but at any cost, Brandon, it's a win. It was way closer than it should be. I felt great, and I felt great after we had an 11-point lead. I said, okay, guys, and then it was just, we're not done. Here we go, and I guess the Ravens like to give us our money's worth, which is fine by me.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's talk about some of the guys that are taking over for a lot of these injured players coming out. One guy, young guy, who's getting activated, Bobby Rainey, he's coming back. He made a huge impact during preseason, and he actually made the active roster, and then they made a couple trades and everything like that, so he got pushed down to the practice squad. So Bobby Rainey's coming up, but a guy who actually played a little bit after LaDarius Webb got hurt was Checky Brown. And he made up a lot of great plays on Sunday, so I'm going to be very interested to see what he brings to the table in Houston.
Me too. Shaki Brown and Jimmy Smith alike. Jimmy Smith, I think, is going to step in nicely. A lot of people this week were skeptical. Oh, Jimmy Smith, oh, really? Well, come on. You know, he drafted it for a reason. We had 26 pieces of first-round pick. Let him play. He deserves to be a starter. I'm excited to see young Jimmy Smith in there. And I think this is what the defense needs. And I said this right after the game. I said this defense kind of needs an infusion of youth. If you look at the defenses now in the NFL, they're tops. I know Seattle's up there if you think about, you know, the top defenses in the league. And, you know, with Arizona being one of the other units. And I know these football teams are not, I mean, the record's 4-2. They're nothing to sneeze at there. But when you look at these defenses, yeah, they have a couple veterans mixed in there. But defense, I think, is more youth. You need offense, I think you can have the more veterans. You got, you know, I remember like the Derek Masons, and you got Matt Burke in there still. You can have these stalwarts in there at offense, because I wouldn't say offense is more slower paced, but it's an offense. It's more methodical. There's more, you know, I would say it's more control chaos than the defense. The defense, it's, you have a lot of schemes. You're going in and out. You're rushing people. You're doing here. You're covering. And I think with the infusion of youth, I think this defense will kind of hold up. And speaking of Suggs, I would not like to see him play Sunday. It would be great. But with the bye week next week, it does not make any sense. I would actually be shocked if I see 55 out there on the field. Even if he's not a starter, if he's anywhere on the field, I'll be shocked, because that's just asking for him to retweak it. It's just, I mean, yes, this is a playoff implication game. We're the only two teams right now in the AFC with a winning record. But, you know, hey, if we lose 5-2 in the bye, isn't too bad. It's just, this would be a huge win regardless. It's just, if you look at the bigger scoop of things, you know, and the way the Ravens are going to do things, I don't think they're going to put Suggs out there, and I would be shocked if the Ravens actually did that.
Yeah, I don't see Suggs going out there either. I think that was just a rumor that ESPN kind of picked up and other places picked up. I don't think he's ready to go out there. And like you said, when there's a bye, why do that? He's just starting to practice again. Give him more time to heal up and make sure that he can even withstand being on the field, you know, for certain plays. Because that Achilles tendon is nothing to mess with. I mean, you really got to take your time and let that heal. So I know he wants to be this this superhero that comes back earlier than everybody else, but you got to be smart about these things. Let's talk a little bit more Dallas Cowboys Ravens game. The offense, you know, they had a great first half. You know, they first play of the game, they dominated for a good 5-7 minutes on one drive. But the big story coming out of it is a guy. Let me just say this: Jacoby Jones, man, what a game for this dude! At the beginning of this game, I think it was one of the first or second plays of this game, I tweeted. You can even look this up because it is out there on Twitter. I was like, man, I am so happy we got Jacoby Jones on this team. And then in that same game, he ties an NFL record for 108 yards returning from a kickoff. And man, what a game for this guy. This guy is a brand new Raven. I'm happy for him to be in Baltimore. And the guy is a great football player, but dude, that guy can dance too.
He can run, he can dance, he's got some jets, and that leads us into the game ball. He gets that game ball. Oh, wow. That was a turning point in the game. Obviously, it was a deciding score, I would say, because obviously, you know, it was a successful team score. We need more of that. You know, we needed a big-time play on special teams, as of all the players have echoed since the beginning of season. And, wow, and I was sitting right in the end zone. He caught it. That was right below me. And I saw the wall open up. It was like a wall of, like, 20 guys. And I was like, if he just gets through there, there's nothing but green grass ahead of him. And he found that seam, and he was gone. It was great to see, and when they announced it was a tying NFL record 108, what a privilege. I mean, Ed Reed's already had 108 interception return yard for a touchdown, and, you know, just these Ravens, we're full of playmakers. And I was excited when Jacoby got here. Not a lot of fans were, because all what he did with Houston, and he muffed the punts, and he was a special teamer there and what he did, but the Ravens aren't stupid, guys. They got him for a reason, and this is the exact reason. And Ozzie was raving about his speed, his athleticism. He's big. He's a very big guy. He's physical. He provides a 1-2 punch with Bolden on the other side in the slot, and then we got Torrey Smith. Torrey Smith's the burner. Bolden's the possession receiver like Mason was, and Jacoby's that big, quick burner. You know, he's big, physical. He can run, and it showed. Game ball goes to Jacoby Jones. And speaking of the offense, staying on game balls, Mr. Ray Race gets with his 2 touchdowns. He had a solid game, but that big, huge play, that 43-yard catch, that was a pivotal play. and all around the offense. I think the offense played well. One of my favorite plays was the pass down to Bolden when he got tackled, I think, the 3-yard line, where Joe Flacco he pump faked. And I actually saw the replay when I got home. He pump faked once. He turned, and Bolden was wide open. I mean, telling you what, Joe Flacco, he needs to start getting some recognition. Everybody's like, oh, well, he's playing great. He's just doing his work. He's not throwing so many interceptions. I mean, you look at the other games and everybody else throwing here, throwing there. And Flacco has got the keys to the offense, and I think right now this offense is going to be our best defense right now if they can score 30-plus, and our defense can do just enough, but there goes the game balls.
You know what? I think I'm actually going to pull a Joe Flacco, and I'm going to steal one of those game balls from you, and I'm going to give one on defense, and I got to give this to a guy that I criticize a lot. I got to give this game ball to Kerry Williams. You know, that's one of the guys that I always talk about, and I'm not a huge fan of him, but, man, Tony Romo was picking on Kerry Williams so much during this game. He got the ball in his hands, and his head directly went to the guy that Kerry Williams was covering. So, I mean, constantly, Kerry Williams was forced to work hard during this game, and he did a good job of what he had to do. I mean, without him, you know, that 2-point conversion wouldn't have happened, and and Kerry Williams also got an interception. So this guy, you know, it seems like quarterbacks are always picking on him, and for good reason, because he always is kind of like a liability out there. But he is really coming into his own the last couple games.
You're right, Brandon. Good points there. I could agree with you on that. Very impressed with his play. He got the pick, and with that last touchdown / 2-point conversion, he covered Dez Bryant on the one. The touchdown catch was kind of it was a great play. Tony Romo put it on there on the numbers. He got it. He put it on the outside shoulder railing for Dez to catch it. He did. He made the play. You know, good coverage on Kerry. But then the next time, you know, and they even had a few words at the end of the game. I heard they were, you know, exchanging some barbs on social media back and forth. And, you know, in the interviews that, you know, Barry Williams was whining that, you know, hey, he heard Dez call for the flag, and he said, be man, play the game. Sometimes you're not going to catch it. Sometimes you are. It went up to your mistakes, and then Dez was just, you know, firing back. I like the competition, the competitive fire. But I think Harry's right in that instance. You know, I was just watching the Thursday night game, and I saw Randy Moss catch a pass where he missed one. And he'd get on line for a flag. It seems too many of these receivers and too many of these athletes in general are always whining for calls, begging for this. I mean, how many times in the NBA you see players flopping and calling for, hey, you know, and always whining, looking at the refs. I mean, granted, I don't play professional sports, but come on, just be a man. You know, I don't see, Flacco's whined before, but for legit reasons, but I don't see any of the Ravens receivers get up and, you know, come on, hey, it's always, usually it's for a legit reason or a blatant missed call. I don't know if you see that correlation, Brandon, but I've been seeing it in NFL a lot lately. I'm sick of these sissy babies calling for these plays. Come on. It's complete pass, go back to the huddle, and call the next play. Stop looking at the ref for a flag to bail you out because you sucked and dropped the football. That's just my opinion.
I like what you're saying, man. I agree with you completely. These guys are always complaining. It's always like, you know, even if I messed up, maybe something will save me. Maybe somebody saw something, and if I complain, they'll actually do something about it. These guys aren't the replacements anymore, so don't try to get plays like that off. Hopefully we don't see a lot of that in this coming week, which it's a big game. This is going to be a big test for the Ravens. It's Ravens versus the Houston Texans. And this is going to be a big game for guys like we were just talking about, Jacoby Jones and Vontae Leach, because this is where those guys came from, Houston. So it's going to be a homecoming, but you know what? They're Ravens now, and they want to win. And I think this is going to be a very tough game to watch, personally.
I agree. Tough game indeed. And I think right now, John Harbaugh's preached this throughout his tenure here so far, adversity. And it's something that the Ravens actually have seen their attire on the shows during the week. There's a thing called 53 Mighty Men. You remember the 53 Mighty Men of Baltimore and the Men of Valor and all that speech? And, and I think that goes hand in hand with right now. What we're going through, adversity. They always say, what don't kill you makes you stronger. This is going to make this football team stronger. You know what? All the media is going to doubt us. Oh, the Ravens are old. Ray Lewis is out. They're harder, they're sold with defense. LeDarius Webb's out. Suggs is coming back. Can his injury hold up? Ed Reed's playing with a hurt shoulder. Hillary Knott is playing with a partially torn knee. It's just, you know what? Let's doubt them. Let's go out there and spank the Texans and go, you know what? We're the kings of AFC. We're here to play. Look at us right now in the little old Baltimore. You know, that's what I want to happen. And it's kind of like, I think what Bernard Powell is trying to get this mantra of this team right now is, let's play pissed off. Ray Lewis has said that all the time. He said in the interviews time and time again, and some even in America's Game, he goes, I play pissed off, always pissed off, because I think that's where Ray Lewis will get his drive. That, and he drives through the whole defense, through the whole team. You know, if people start doubting us, watch us now. That's why I kind of like the Ravens in the underdog role. Not that we're not, you know, in an underdog role. Right now we're tied for the best record in AFC, second best record in the NFL. But people are all going to go, oh, Aaron Foster is going to run 300 yards on us, and, you know, the Texans are probably going to win convincingly and show them they're top dog in AFC. Well, okay, we'll just go on and win a road game. We'll just go in and beat them. And that's what I'm excited about coming to Houston on 1 o'clock Sunday. I'm not scared. I'm not scared at all, but I'm going to, unfortunately, go on the flip side, hopefully prove me wrong, but I'm going to predict this one as a loss, actually. You know, I'm not saying I'm not confident, but given the circumstances with the, you know, with the offense Houston has in a home game, and after they just got slaughtered on with Aaron Rodgers for 6 touchdowns, you know what? Yeah, I think they got something to prove, and it's going to be a 1-2 punch. Got Ray Rice versus Aaron Foster. They got to cover Andre Johnson. They got some weapons, and I'm telling you, I just don't see the Ravens winning this. But again, Brandon, I really hope our team pulls us out and proves me wrong come next week. And I would love to be sitting at 6-1 at the bye instead of 5-2. And I hope I'm saying, hey, they proved me wrong. But I'm actually going to predict a loss at a score of, let me say, a ripe of. I'm going to go 34-27 on this one, Texans.
You know what? You're not the only one who feels that way, I guess I should say. I think that this is going to be a really tough game. I think the defense is going to be a huge test for them, and these are a bunch of practice squad guys who are talented but don't have a lot of experience on the field. So I think that that's going to be a huge factor. I see a lot of penalties being called in this game. But here's the big thing. Let's put aside the injuries and the defense and the offense. Let's put all that aside. Think about this for a second. The Ravens do not have a good record on a away games. The 12th man in Baltimore is a huge factor for this team, and when people aren't rooting for the Ravens and they're not at home, they don't play as well as they should. And that's a proven fact. Everybody has seen it. I mean, just going up to Philadelphia was a huge test for these guys. So I think that having a banged up team is going to be a factor, but I also think the travel and the fact that they are the away team is going to be an even bigger factor on this game on Sunday. And I have to agree with you, I think it's going to be a loss. I think the Houston Texans have a chip on their shoulder after what happened on Monday. I think they're angry. I think they got made, they were made to look like an inferior team. And I'm sure they don't want to feel that way. But the Ravens are fighting for something too. I think the defense wants to prove that they are a good defense even without Ray Lewis and Ladarius Webb with those huge tools. And I think the defense would be better with those tools, but I think that they also want to say, hey, we still got great guys on our team, and we're going to go out there and play our best. But I don't think that their best this week is going to pull it off.
You're right. I can agree with you on all points there. Well said, my friend. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again and again and again. Baltimore Ravens, please prove me wrong. Please come out of there with me. I mean, but hey, if I predict this right, I'm not going to be too upset. But if I predict this wrong, I won't be upset because I'll be rejoicing with the rest of Baltimore and the state of Maryland. But it's going to be a fun game to watch, and this is not going to be the last time we see these guys come January. I think it's going to be another rumble and tumble. I think not that we're going to create another rivalry, but we've been playing this team more than those show that we have in the past. And then obviously we played them last year here and beat them, and then we played them here again in the playoffs and beat them. And I'm excited to see what we can do. And I don't think they beat us. I don't even think they beat us. I've gone back on their records since they came in the league, I think, in 2002. I don't think the Texans had beat the Ravens. And I think I can stand true to that fact, and we can research that a bit. But you know, we kind of need a little statistics guy working for us here running the numbers while we're on air, huh?
that would be a nice addition.
Hey, why not? You know, just create go over there and have a little chit-chat about the stats. And, you know, I'm up for that kind of little fun with it. But, again, you know, and going over with the whole wrapping this up in summary, you know, we've been hearing a lot of talk. Of course, Ray got hurt. Oh, is he going to play? Is he going to retire? Because obviously the Ravens are holding hope. They put him on injured reserve. Hopefully it comes back in 6 to 8 weeks, leaving the door open. I kind of like that idea because you never know with his body, he can heal. You never know the what ifs. Okay, if you don't play, rest him. And if we make it to the Super Bowl and he ends up coming out for his dance, great. And if he can play, great. It's only one game if he can stand it. But it's a 4 to 6 months. I've been looking at the – I've actually researched this week. I've actually gotten in-depth and researched Webb's injury. I was even on WebMD looking at researching and injuries and asking some nurses I know at Hopkins on, have you seen this type of injury? What's the turnaround? What's the recovery? And everybody said they were both getting full recovery. And what I heard about Webb is he actually hurt his other knee. As we remember, he already tore up his other knee. And actually heard from some interviews with some surgeons through various local media sources that if he had tore up his reconstructed knee, it would actually have been worse for Webb. It could have been a career ender. But since he tore up his other good knee, it's actually a good thing. Not to say it's a good thing he tore up his knee in general, but we're glad that, you know, to hear that, okay, well, it's not as serious as tearing his reconstructed knee. And Ray Lewis tearing that, I kind of heard some gruesome thing. If you want to jump on the Halloween kind of theme here, that, you know, if you want to get grossed out, I heard that with Ray Lewis' procedure, he actually had surgery on Wednesday. It was successful. He talked to Shannon Sharp. He's in positive spirits. And what they had to do is, you know, drill a hole, I think, in the bone and actually reattach his muscle, which is kind of crazy in itself. Yeah. So, and I don't think he's going to retire. You know, hearing with Deion Sanders' opinions and Shannon Sharp's opinions and my personal opinion with following this guy closely as I have in his career, Ray Lewis will not go out and let an injury. He's too prideful. If you watch A Football Life, if you watch E60, this man, being pissed off drives him. He likes proving people wrong. Like, look what he did in high school. He was so mad at his father, he worked so hard to shatter his father's records and erase him from the record books. This man works with a work ethic unlike any of this world has seen. He will come back next year and be in the top 10 in tackles in the NFL. You just watch. He's going to come back at training camp and go, okay, you think I'm old? I want to be 38-year-old linebacker. I'm going to come back with a vengeance. He's not going to go out. I mean, come on. How is he going to go out in Canton, Ohio, and go, my last football play was getting hurt, tackling a third-string running? He's not going to do that, Brandon. I would literally, it would shake my world, and I literally probably wouldn't talk for weeks if that happened. He would just go, okay, I'm going to hang up my cleats. The dude's not going to do that. I don't see it, Brandon. I just don't see it in this guy.
Now, a lot of people are saying retire, 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 but a lot of those people aren't from Baltimore, don't follow Ray Lewis as much as Ravens fans do. And Ray is going to be the deciding factor on this, and it depends on how bad that injury is. But if I know Ray Lewis, like, I mean, I don't know him personally, but, like, the way that I kind of know him is that he's not going to let an injury take him out. He is going to fight back, and he is going to go another season. He's not going to go out on the bottom like this, just, you know, hurting himself on a tackle. He is going to, because even in this game, he supposedly stayed in for 4 extra plays after he got hurt. You can see in that last tackle, he does it with one arm, and then he goes off because he can't handle the pain. This guy is tough. He's smart, and I think he's going to be smart about it, and he's going to rest, and I think he's going to work, and I can tell you, from the bottom of my heart, that guy is going to be back on the football field. I don't think he's going to retire. I think he's got too much pride for that, and we're going to miss that Ray Lewis dance at the beginning of each game. He's going to be on the sideline, though. He's going to be coaching the defense as much as he can. This isn't the last we've heard of Ray Lewis. There is no doubt in my mind he will be back on that field. And it may not be this season, but next season we will still be talking about Ray Lewis being a part of the Ravens football team.
Brandon, we are. I can, from the depths of my soul and the bottom of my heart, I can say we will be. Obviously, I can't predict the future, but I've never been more right. I was passionate. My friends were asking me, if you could retire, I ran my mouth and was like, oh, I'll bet you $1,000. I'll bet you $5,000. But I don't care because I will put my money where my mouth is. The guy's not going to retire. And I just know it. You know, and obviously, he's being hush-hush. We haven't heard from him. And he has the right to be, you know, hiding like that. And you know what? It's just, he even came out and said he's not going to make a decision until probably after the season's over, if we win the whole thing, even when the playoffs are done and after his rehab. And I kind of like that. You know, go be by yourself, do your thing quietly, rehab, come back. I don't know if he's going to be on the sidelines or not. I don't know how he – is he going to be on the sidelines recovering like Suggs was? I really don't know. But speaking of Suggs in beast mode, the animal's back. I don't know if anybody's seen the poster on Ravens.com, but I downloaded to my phone. It's going to be my background because it's such an awesome banner. It says – it has a silhouette of Suggs. And it says, it's back, and it's mad. And I can't wait for him to wreak havoc out there. And I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air for this Ravens defense. And him coming back is a huge, huge lift. Not to say that, you know, it's going to take the place of 21-52 being down and with Ed Reed and Nada kind of banged up. But with Suggs being out there, if we can get him back after the bye and playing Cleveland and get another division AFC win, it's going to be huge for us going forward. And with him rushing the passer, I'm telling you what, man, I'm very excited. He's my second favorite player. I can't wait to I just really can't wait to get after it. And we'll be still supporting my 52 black jersey every Sunday as I do. It's going to be in salute and honor, of course, of Ray. I might even do his dance on Sunday's commemorative, and actually was fortunate enough to see his dance right in front of me. So, and I don't think it's his last dance in Baltimore because I will be for that one. And, you know, if there is a 1.00001% chance that it was, I was there to see it and privileged to see it, but it's not going to be. And I think this is, you know, it was kind of a crazy week in Ravens land and with all these injuries, and I think come Sunday, let's see what the results will be. You know, predicting a loss, prove me wrong, Ravens, I say a win, let's go. Very excited to see it, and I think these birds will fly high regardless. Let's go through adversity. Let's go. Let's show them. Let's show them what we're made of. You know, there's a reason why we do what we do every week, every Sunday. Let's show them. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, win or loss, these are still our Ravens. These are still our boys. I'll be watching on Sunday, and I'll still be supporting this team, and we'll still be talking every week like we always do. But of course, did we cover everything, Josh? I think we got everything we could talk about, really.
As I always say, we got everything else covered, and Ed Reed's got the rest, right?
I like hearing that. Man, so if you want to follow along with us during the game, or if you want to hear any Ravens news or anything like that, you can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me at ItalianGQ52.
That's great. And if you like this show and you want more information about it or any other information about any of the other shows on the At Brando Cash Network, go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us there. We'll get all the information you need out there. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Make sure you leave an iTunes review. Kind of helps us climb the ranks in the iTunes world, and kind of they'll take notice and help us out that way. And write a review there. And anything you're on, man, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Tumblr, some other, maybe you're on MySpace, I don't know, any kind of social media.
MySpace, what's that?
It's an ancient tool that us old guys talk about every once in a while.
I remember MySpace. That was the first thing I've gotten on.
But anything you're on, anything social in any way, send them the link to our show. Tell anybody that you're friends with, hey, if you guys are Ravens fans, listen to these guys talk Ravens. They're a lot of fun. They know what they're talking about. Maybe, or even tell them, these guys don't know what they're talking about, but they're funny. So just send out the call, you know, send out a tweet. Say the call is what you should be listening to every Purple Friday. So, and if you do listen to the show, of course, thank you so much for tuning in. So this is pretty much it for the call this week. I'm Brandon. Josh, you say what you always got to say to end this show.
I'm going to say Baltimore Ravens, fly high.
This has been a production of the At Brandon.